Hello, Devlin Bishop here with you, and welcome to another edition of Mondo Nostalgia. Yeah, I know they don't come up quite as often as I hope, but all I can say is I hope that this is the beginning of me posting a little bit more regularly. I just felt like talking today, and I'm going to talk about a little bit of everything. In fact, I'm going to actually kind of go back to how I used to do the show. I used to always say it's like a show where you go out with a friend with coffee, and this friend totally dominates the conversation, and that would be me. And, well, usually when I don't like to think I dominate the conversation when I go out with friends, because I'm a great listener too, but when you're talking podcast, well, you know, it would be nice of me to leave big spaces. So how are you doing? But it doesn't really make for really great podcasts. But you know what? The good news is you can always go in the comments and comment on something I talked about, or just tell me how you're doing, because I'd love to hear from you. I would love Mondo's Nostalgia to be a little bit more interactive. And the Facebook page is growing a bit, and thank you for that. And when I say it's growing, I mean that I'm noticing a lot more people are going to it. And if you've never been, all you have to do is go to Facebook and put in Mondo Nostalgia, and you'll see that I post pretty much every day. And I post everything from trailers. I post, obviously nostalgic things. But I also post new news about nostalgic things. I also post, you know, like new trailers that are coming out, music videos all the time. I even play new music videos to introduce people who always say, you know, you old people who always say, they don't make good music anymore. Well, I still find it, so I like to share it with you too. So I hope that really didn't sound like any of the people listening, because I don't want to offend or anything like that. So anyhow, I'm going to go back to the early days and just talk about whatever. And if you did go to my Mondo Nostalgia page in the last week, thank you, first of all. Let's get that out of the way. But also, I'm actually going to be talking about some of the things I posted, whether it be a recipe, whether it be news. I thought that would be a nice way to do it. So grab yourself a beverage. I've got mine here. I've been drinking club soda a lot lately. I'm trying to cut down on my pop consumption. I'm a Coca-Cola whore normally, but you know, I've been trying to do water a lot. But every once in a while, I need the fizzy, and club soda is great for the fizzy, and I actually like the taste of it. So I'm going to take a little swig as we continue. Facebook, a lot of people put it down, but I like it for a lot of reasons. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff I don't like about it, but I'm not going to bitch about it. But one of the things I do like is the memories, because it reminds you of people's birthdays, events that happen, anniversaries. And yesterday, that would be Saturday, because I'm recording this on Sunday, so I don't know when you're listening to it. But anyhow, it told me that Mondo Nostalgia, or at least my Devlin's Pirate Radio show, turned 5 years old, and I didn't know I was even on that milestone. So it seems appropriate for me to try to get back on track with Mondo Nostalgia. And since I see a lot more traffic on Mondo Nostalgia now, hopefully, you know, we'll get back to getting my 17 regular listeners back, and maybe even more on the radio show. And so that's why I decided we're just going to talk about just random stuff today. But again, thank you if you've listened to a podcast, if you've hit play on this one. Don't forget, you can either watch this on YouTube, where my lovely co-conspirator, I don't know if that's the word I'm looking for, but Corda, she puts all the great pictures up. So remember, if you're offended by any of the pictures she puts up, you contact her, leave me out of it. If it's something vocal I said, well, yeah, that's totally me. Or you can also check a couple of podplays. I think we're on Google Play Podcasts. I know we're on Apple, iTunes. Just look for us, and you can download it. Everything is free. Everything is free. I couldn't charge for this mess. I'd feel so guilty. I would lose a lot of sleep. But anyhow, on that note, let's get talking. Let's get talking. Lots of things went on today, but let's get rid of the big elephant in the room. and that is the coronavirus. Everybody's going nuts talking about this. It's pretty much dominated my social media feed. Some people are really freaking out about it. Other people are trying to post jokes because that's the best way they can deal with it. And then there's just people like me that's probably just trying to ignore it and hoping it just goes away. Today was this week was the first time I actually acknowledged it. Because I've seen a lot of memes that, are trying to be funny, but, I don't know if they succeed, but I try to stay away from stuff that is either political or freaks people out. And yeah, coronavirus is getting to the point where it's starting to freak me out a little bit. I think I should even be more freaked out about it, but I don't want to get totally chaos because I hear that people are having troubles actually finding like toilet paper and water because I know a lady when I was at work said she's been to so many Costcos because toilet paper is selling out their brand and people are literally hoarding toilet paper and water. I guess just in case, we're told not to go anywhere. Yeah, if this freaks you out, maybe you should just fast forward a little bit. I won't talk too in depth about it, but yeah, it is kind of freaky. You're starting to see things happen all over the world, like China's closing movie theaters. Italy, I think, is just closed a lot of social places like gyms and swimming pools, like public pools and stuff. And yeah, so people are going around. I'm actually surprised at the amount of people that are still traveling. Because to me, that would be the number one way that you could kind of catch it. And this is not trying to get fear instilled on you. I just, I'm not the kind, and I know social media does that a lot. Like they just post stuff to get fear. I'm not 100% afraid, but I'm at that point where I'm like starting to read a little bit into it. Like not a lot, because I don't want to start getting paranoid. I am the kind of guy who would get anxious and paranoid about, oh my God, this is the end of the world and stuff. And a lot of the news places are playing it up as that, and social media is not helping. With all due respect, if you are hoarding toilet paper or if you are posting every little thing you read about the coronavirus, power to you, but a lot of that posting stuff, you read into it before you post it, because there's a lot of mixed up information up there, so you're kind of adding to the problem. And news stations aren't better. They love instilling fear in people. So, yeah, they're going to post everything they can about it. But I am at the point where I'm a little nervous about it. And I'm not the only one. Hollywood is also nervous about it because there's been a couple of movies who've made a little bit of money, but couple of movies aren't doing so well. Birds of Prey didn't do well. Now, some people might say that's just because DC has been, miserably losing numbers as we go. But Birds of Prey was getting pretty good reviews and stuff, and it was getting good word of mouth, but people still weren't going to it. And a lot of people wonder if that has a lot to do with, the fact that there are certain countries that are closing movie theaters and stuff. I will talk a little bit more about Birds of Prey because I did get to see it this week, but I want to talk more importantly, like when a movie studio makes a huge move. The other movie that's not going to be doing well is Onward, which just opened and looks like it could be one of Pixar's lowest openers. And Pixar, people, that's Disney. People like line up like, I am a robot, must go see the latest Pixar film. So it's big news when a Pixar movie doesn't do well. But again, it could be, because of, the fact that, countries are closing the movie down. But one of the big studios has decided to try and avoid it and hoping that this coronavirus will be done by next fall. And that is the producers of the latest James Bond movie, James Bond 25, No Time to Die. Yeah, this movie was set to open in just a few weeks, and like they literally like have been doing press for it already. Daniel Craig was the host of Saturday Night Live recently to promote it. Billie Eilish, I don't know if I'm getting that right. They've been playing her new Bond theme, which is, the most emo Bond theme we have ever had in our lives. It's still a pretty good song. It's just kind of weird for a Bond theme, but the song No Time to Die is already on the radio, and the movie's not coming out now until November. And Bond movies make a lot of money, and they said that it's possible that because of the theaters that have closed in China and stuff, that could be up to 40% of a movie's box office. Now, when you're a small little movie, you can afford to like still put it in theaters and hope and pray. But when you're a Bond movie, when you're making, millions, billions of dollars, 40%, you don't want to lose that much. So I'm not surprised. A lot of people like to think Hollywood is all about art, but when it comes down to it, Hollywood's just a business. And of course they're going to move the Bond movie because of the fact that they literally, it's just something that they're going to do because financially it makes a lot of sense. I love Bond movies. I'm not like a diehard Bond thing. Like I have a lot of movie toys and memorabilia around, but I do have some Bond. I was just thinking I don't have any, but I actually do. I have a couple of pop vinyls. I have Sean Connery, Roger Moore, and I just got the voodoo guy, Baron Samedi, from Live and Let Die, because I secretly love Live and Let Die, even though I know it's a crappy movie. But anyhow, so I do have some Bond around here, and I love the Bond themes, and I own all the Bond movies, so I'm a little disappointed, but honestly, most of the Bond movies come out at Thanksgiving or Christmas, so to me, it's no big deal. It was actually kind of weird, a Bond film coming out in the spring. I know they were doing it to try to avoid some other movies, but I don't think there's going to be a lot of contenders in the fall too, so I think James Bond is just fine. It's going to be fine. But for you diehard Bond film fanatics, I could imagine this is a huge, because we're talking almost 8 months away, if I'm doing my math right. April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November. Yeah, 8 months. Apparently my math is right on time today. So you Bond films, good chance to rewatch all the other Bond films if you plan to do that before November. So you can wait to see Daniel Craig, which will probably be his last outing. All right, enough talk of this coronavirus. And again, I don't judge you if you're listening to this as you're stacking your walls of toilet paper in your spare room or in your basement or in your closet. People have freaked out about stuff before. I remember the millennium, incident when everybody was getting ready, getting like cookers. I had some relatives. I won't say who. I'll just say they weren't from my side of the family. They were from Mike's. Yeah, I'm getting closer to saying who it is. I know she's not listening. Okay, Mike's aunt was quite prepared for the 1999, all the computers are going to shut down. I was a little afraid then, so I can see people. I remember SARS. When 9/11 happened, we were constantly, fearing more attacks coming. So I get why people are freaking out. And I don't judge you. I'll judge you a little bit if I go to buy toilet paper and I can't get some. Then I might curse your name a little bit. If I see you have a buggy of, 8 big packages of toilet paper, then I'm going to judge you. I will be honest. I've never thrown punches on this. Held back punches. I've thrown punches. Anyhow, but let's get off this coronavirus thing because there's lots of other fun things to talk about. This is a sweet thing, and this story made me smile. A couple of months ago, a World War II veteran from Canada, Fred Arsenal, who fought in World War II, asked that for his 100th birthday that people send him birthday cards in the hopes that he gets 100 cards. And I was so touched by this. I loved it because I knew as soon as he put his address out there, this man was going to get way more than 100 cards. And I also knew he was getting one from me because, quite frankly, I couldn't resist. And so I immediately went, bought a card, wrote a little something in it. I try not to write too much due to the fact that I knew he was going to get a lot of cards. But I wanted him to know that I totally respect World War II veterans and, anybody who worked in factories or even, the wives and kids who, thing. My dad was in World War II, so, I totally have that respect for him. So I sent him a card and, told him to keep doing what he's doing because he made it to 100, so he's doing something right. Well, they announced today that his birthday came up and they gave him his birthday cards, and last total was over 90,000 cards. Now remember, this man only wanted 100. He was hoping to hit 100. So imagine the big smile on his face, on that handsome World War II veteran face, Fred Arsenault, when he received over 90,000 cards. If you took the time to send him a card, I thank you. I thank you. And this kind of gives me hope. I'm crying a little bit now, and you can cry with me because that's what friends do when we sit and talk together. But I guess they're happy tears, I must say. I would have been sad if I heard the story that nobody sent him cards, but this was a no-brainer to me because I know that deep down inside, even though sometimes the world can be shitty and the world can be cruel, there is a heart for certain things. And when this veteran asked for 100 cards, it blows my mind he got 90,000. I thought he might get 10,000 or something, but 90,000 plus, and I bet you there's still going to be people sending him some. And I hope Fred is smiling, and I hope the happiness he got from that lets him live for several more years. If it doesn't, I do hope it made his life happy and realizes that we still do respect people for sacrifices they make. And yeah, that was awesome. That's actually not the only World War II story that we have today. But unfortunately, this is a bit of sadness to it. Rosalind P. Walter, who is known as the woman who was the inspiration for Rosie the Riveter, that famous poster that hopefully Corda will be able to find, that they, one of the many things they promoted in the war. Well, she passed away this past week at 95. 95. Fred was 100. 95. It's amazing. I can't even fathom that idea. But anyhow, Rosen was the first Rosie the Riveter. And of course, they've had other ones since then. But, just models and stuff. But Rosie was the inspiration for it. And sadly, she lost her life. But 95 years, that's incredible. As I said, I can't even fathom it. My dad died when he was 80. My mom died when she was 70. So, I assume I'm going to probably die in that area. Maybe a little. I want to say a little longer because may I didn't smoke and drink as much as they did. But then I see people that live to 100 and they usually say that they do smoke and they do drink and everything in moderation. So I don't know. I don't know. I just, the thought of living to that, there's some bittersweet in both of that. Like, it would be awesome to live that long, but then it would also be crappy because you'd probably be seeing so many of your friends and family dying that it would almost be. I remember there was a movie with Bette Midler called For the Boys, and I remember it was about her being part of the USO, and I believe it was James Caan who was the soldier she fell in love with. And I remember they talk, an interviewer talks to her when she's playing an old woman, and she says that Is it amazing to live so long? And Bette Midler says, no, it's actually a curse. And I'm paraphrasing here, because you do literally outlive friends, family, sometimes even your own children. And it's not always as great as it seems. So I hope Rosalind had a great life, and I certainly hope Fred has a great life, and I'm certainly he had a great week when he was delivered all those cards. So amazing, amazing stuff. And it's good to talk about World War II and World War I stuff. Even when it's not even around Remembrance Day. Remembrance Day, which you know is very important to me because of my dad and mom. What other things happened this week? One of the things I like to post on Mondo Nostalgia is recipes. And this week I decided to do a lot of comfort foods. I tend to do a lot of comfort foods. I decided to put a basic grilled cheese sandwich because I found out recently a lot of people don't know how to make grilled cheese sandwiches. I'm not a cook, but I know how to make grilled cheese sandwiches. And so I posted that. I also posted this great idea to cook little mini meatloafs in muffin pans. Now, these aren't my recipes. I just find them on other sites and then share them. But people seem to be slowly enjoying these, so I keep posting them. But the other thing I posted was a full-on meatloaf. When I was unemployed between jobs the one time, I actually started learning how to cook basic things. And I learned Caesar salad, which I like to cook quite regularly now, and devil's eggs. So this, I'm not unemployed or anything, but I decided, because I'm dealing with, thriving, I'm trying to, get better with mental health. I've been trying to find little hobbies to do or set little goals for myself. One of those is I decided I always wanted to try to make a meatloaf. Now, I like meatloaf. I don't love meatloaf, but I like it. And I know Mike likes it. So I decided meatloaf would be my next attempt. So I posted a recipe that you can find on Mondo Nostalgia. And I actually used a combination of two recipes. The other one that the one I posted, and the one is a guy I like looking at YouTube. I don't mind giving heads up. His name is the One Pot Chef. He's a big, cuddly British guy, and I like him because he makes a lot of really easy versions. And I kind of found two recipes, and I kind of played around with what I like and I don't like. I didn't know how it was going to turn out. I told Mike that I had pizza money ready just in case. I went out, bought all the ingredients that I needed. Got to use my garlic press that I bought when I started doing Caesar salad. Somebody once was a wonderful friend of mine, Gabriella, shocked that I actually bought a garlic press. She said, I can't believe you own one because a lot of people don't. And I did, and I got to use it again, which was nice. I used it twice last week, which was crazy because I made a Caesar salad one night and then I needed it for the meatloaf. So it was good. The meatloaf was actually a success. The sauce tasted great. The barbecue sauce and the ketchup mix was great, but I didn't know how it turned out. When we cut into it, it was really moist and it was so good and it was so delicious. And I'm definitely going to make it again. And I was so proud of myself. Originally, I was going to do it, and I kept chickening out, chickening out, chickening out. And Mike said, "Well, why don't you wait, and we can make it together and try it." But I really wanted a success, so while I had the day off on Friday, I decided, "Okay, I'm going to make one." And it's funny, little successes, little victories, are positive. And now I can cook a meatloaf, and I can't wait to see what I try next. So, cooking, it's nice to learn some cooking. It's actually kind of relaxing. It's a little nerve-wracking. I won't lie. I got anxiety over everything. But I had pizza money ready, so it was good. But it was awesome. We almost polished it off, and what we didn't polish off, Mike had later for leftovers. there was only enough leftovers for one, so I gave it to him because he likes the meatloaf more. So yeah, I was really proud of myself for doing that. So there you go. Sharing little victories with you. Cordy and I, she bought me a book a couple months ago called The 52 List Project. It's an interesting book, and I decided I didn't want to do it right away because it's kind of made to do as of January 1st. So I waited till the year, but I surprised Corda with buying her own copy of it and said, we're going to do this together. So one of the things I wrote when it said, what would you like to add into your life or something? I can't remember the exact question, but I said, I'd like to cook and I would like to eat healthier. Even though meatloaf isn't really healthy, what I mean by healthier is making an actual meatloaf rather than buying a frozen meatloaf and just heating it up in the microwave or oven. So, actually using natural ingredients and stuff like that. So, yeah, I know meatloaf isn't healthy, but I'm proud of myself. So, there we go. And yeah, this 52 list book. Not here to promote it, but it's not bad. It's got interesting things. Maybe Heather and I will talk about it on one of the shows. Maybe I'll bring her on. She's probably listening to this right now going, "What? What?" But we'll talk about it 'cause, we're both trying to change our lives a little bit, and she always says I'm kind of an inspiration to her. So I thought let's do this together, and yeah. I'm proud of her for the things she's accomplished, and I know she's going to accomplish so much more. She's crying right now, by the way. Well, actually, no, I was going to say she's crying the first time she listens to this, because I know she listens to it a couple of times, because then she has to get her picture. But she's tearing up every time she hears this part. So thank you, Corda, for all you do for me. I am extremely proud of your successes and your successes to come, and I'll be there for all of them. There was another death this week, a man by the name of James Lipton. Now, for those of you who don't know who James Lipton is, here's another man who died at 93. Boy, maybe there is something in saying that you can actually live that long. Of course, I'd have to probably get healthier. Anyhow, no, this is James Lipton's moment, not mine. James Lipton, if you're a movie fan, he used to do that wonderful show called Inside the Actors Studio, where he would interview celebrities, mostly movie stars, but I did see him interview TV stars and music stars too. And James Lipton, that show was phenomenal. I think it aired here on Bravo. And it was a great show, especially if you were a movie buff or any kind of nostalgia buff. And, he brought so many celebrities, like insights and movies that, they talk about probably every day of their life, and then other movies they don't talk about so much. It's a great series. I don't know if you can actually stream the series anywhere. Let me know if you know a place, because I'd like to see some classic episodes. I used to watch it all the time. And James, the show became a real big hit, and James became a big celebrity. And you're a big celebrity when Will Ferrell does an impression of you, and he used to do James Lipton on Saturday Night Live. And, just like Burt Reynolds, and a couple, Neil Diamond, Will Ferrell has paid wonderful tribute to lots of people. But James Lipton offered so much to the movie community, and I'd still like to revisit some of those shows, Inside the Actors Studio. Again, he was 93, and I'm thinking about making some changes in my life. And one of them is, I told myself never to talk about this. I'm trying to lose weight, but I'm doing it on my own terms, which usually means I'm not going to lose that much weight, because I'm not committed to a full-on lifestyle change. But I am committed to maybe half of one. And maybe that half will push me more to three quarters. I can't see me always just doing a salad or, something. Though I can do little things. And the one thing I always said, I'm thinking a lot about going to a gym. My problem is it's kind of expensive. I know there's some cheaper ones out there, and those are the ones I'm probably going to look into. But I really kind of want to go to a gym, but I have a feeling I'm going to pay for it, go a couple of times, and then not go. And then I felt I just threw away money. But I'm still committed to looking into this. I'm thinking about it. I'm on the fence a lot about it, but I really think it would help, well, not only lose weight, but I think it would help with my mental anxieties and stuff. And so, yeah, still don't know if I could make it to 90. I don't know. I think just the sheer secondhand smoke that my parents gave me as a kid is going to end my life earlier than I hope. Boy, I'm talking a lot about my death in this one. Thank you if you haven't pressed off yet or stop or went to go find a nicer podcast or something like that. But I am enjoying myself. This is nice. Just talking about anything that comes to my head. This is pretty much exactly what talking to me would be. But again, if you and I were out for coffee or a drink or something, I would let you talk a little bit, you know. I would. I'm a good listener too. I love listening to people. But this is my podcast, so you are technically my prisoner. Unless you do press stop, then there's nothing I can really do about that. Though I'm sure technology is working on something like that. Weird thing happened to me the other day. We were talking about movie biopics because there's so many seem to be coming out. You know, we had Bohemian Rhapsody with Freddie Mercury and Queen. We had Rocket Man for Elton John. There's talk of already Paramount buying the rights to the Bee Gees catalog of music, and they're going to work on a Bee Gees movie, which I think would be phenomenal. Can't even imagine who they'd cast, although Justin Timberlake comes to mind because he did one of them on an impersonation of one of them. I can't remember if it was Jimmy Fallon along with him, but they did the two Bee Gees. So he would probably be good, but they might stay away from that just because people might remember the comedy routine of it. But anyhow, we were talking about some of my favorite biography picks. Stuff like What's Love Got to Do with It, Tina Turner's, and The Doors, Oliver Stone. I know some people were mixed on it, but I actually think it's a phenomenal movie. And one of the ones that I absolutely love is The Coal Miner's Daughter. A lot of people are surprised. I was a little boy. I would have been 12 when Coal Miner's Daughter came out. And I knew who Loretta Lynn was because she was in that very famous Muppet Show episode where, you know, she sang a couple of her songs. And so I knew some of her songs even. But I actually saw the movie at theaters 3 times, and I love the movie. And I've seen it probably 5 or 6 more times since then. I got to show Mike him for the first time. He thought it was really good. Sissy Spacek's performance in it is absolutely phenomenal. But anyhow, so we got talking about Coal Miner's Daughter. And so when I was doing my Mondo Nostalgia, sometimes I go and I look to see what movies are celebrating anniversaries. So I pick a random year. I said, okay, 1980, let's see what was celebrating this past week, turned 40 years old. And the day I looked it up was on March 7th. And on March 7th, The Coal Miner's Daughter actually hit theaters, and I just talked about it a couple of hours earlier, and it blew my mind. So I just wanted to give a shout out to Coal Miner's Daughter. I put the trailer on my thing. It's a wonderful movie. As I said, Sissy Spacek won an Oscar from it, and she just got nominated prior to that for her role in Carrie, which another phenomenal performance. And yeah, she is so great as Loretta Lynn. And if you get a chance, check it out. Tommy Lee Jones playing her husband, Dew, and Beverly D'Angelo as Patsy Cline. It's a great film. And if you haven't seen it, you should check it out. It is one of my favorite biopics, probably right up there with Bohemian Rhapsody and Rocket Man, which have become two of my all-time favorites as well. It's got great music, and you don't have to be a country fan. There is country music, obviously, but the music's very great. And a lot of people forget that Loretta Lynn was a real groundbreaker. She sang songs about women's lib and women's being strong. She had songs, like The Pill, talking about the birth control bill, which people didn't do. She talked about songs where she was going to like beat up other women because they were sniffing around her husband and stuff, stuff like Fist City or You Ain't Woman Enough to Take My Man, she just talked about stuff people weren't talking about or stuff that wasn't being played on country charts. So Loretta Lynn is just amazing. I always thought it's interesting because, obviously Loretta Lynn is still alive. And I always thought that it would be interesting if they made a sequel to that because they could have looked at Loretta Lynn's later life. But as Mike reminded me, that stuff maybe may not be as inspiring as a girl who was brought up in, the Smoky Mountains or, in the coal, her father and her brothers were all in the coal jobs and she's making it as a mother and then becomes a, one of the most profound country music artists of all time. But her second half of life, there's a lot of stuff like, doing Crisco commercials, having really rocky times with her husband, even more rocky times. And then there's the whole alien. I don't remember much about it, but I just know there were a lot of Loretta Lynn talking about aliens and UFOs and her unusual beliefs about things. And I thought, yeah, maybe they shouldn't make a sequel, even though they could. Coal Miner's Daughter was a very successful movie, so let's not give him some ideas. Let's just move on to our next topic. Batman. I don't know if Heather's going to be able to find pictures of this that we're legally allowed to show, and if you're downloaded this podcast, you won't see the pictures anyhow, but you can go online and check right after we talk about it. But they've released some Batman pictures for the Matt Reeves movie that stars Robert Pattinson. And they released, about 2 weeks ago, they released a look at his suit, which a lot of people were kind of mixed on. I actually thought the suit looked pretty good. It looks more military than anything. It actually kind of looks more like a suit that somebody who was deciding to go fight crime would probably have, because usually the suit just kind of looks a little odd, but this actually looks like military, like maybe even football pieces in it as well. So I thought it looked okay. And this past week they released pictures of the car, which I'm not a car geek, but it looks more like a hot rod than an actual Batmobile. And again, the pictures were kind of muddy. In one of the pictures, it actually looks more silver than it does actually black, but I actually think it's a black car. I just think the way the lighting was just kind of hit it. Kind of different if you drove around in a silver, sports car. There's a lot of unsureness of where this movie takes place. Some people think it's around the 90s, and it's Batman's early career, even though there's been lots of different rumors. Rumors like they are thinking about casting a Robin, which they say is weird if this is supposed to be not an origin story, but fairly close to the beginning of Batman's career. It would be weird to just bring a Robin in at that point. There's also been rumors that they might actually try to link it to last year's Joker movie. I really don't want that to happen. As much as I'd love to see more Joaquin Phoenix as the Joker, I want that to be a one-and-done movie. That movie, to me, it doesn't even feel like a comic book movie to me. It's a dramatic piece with comic book highlights in it, we'll say. But I kind of hope this is its own entity. I know I keep calling it Batman. I think it's called The Batman. I'm really not sure. Until I see the first trailer, I don't really know what to make of it. There's sides of me that are kind of looking forward to it. Things I do know are I am excited about Robert Pattinson. I think he's a great actor. For those people who have only seen him in the Twilight movies and are worried because of that, you should check out movies like High Life. I think it's called The Rover, and Good Times. All movies where he shows his acting chops, and there's quite a few out there. I've heard he's really great in The Lighthouse, and a couple of other ones that are escaping my name right now. But yeah, so I know that. I like the costume. I'll like it. I'll be better judge of it when I see it moving around. It's hard to tell just in pictures. And I don't mind the car. It's kind of sexy in a way. I thought, as much as I like the Nolan movies, I thought the Batmobiles and that were kind of clunky looking and stuff like that. And as much as I like the Burton movies, the weird having to shoot a batarang to make it turn was a little odd to me. I'd love to see something more like the '66 Batmobile come back, because that was kind of sexy and cheesy all in one. I know I'm going to get car people commenting. You thought that was sexy? I did a little. I did. I think it's a great look for a car, and it says the Batmobile to me. So anyhow, I'm looking forward to seeing what it's all about. As I said earlier, I actually got to see Birds of Prey this week, and I am a big DC fan. I've loved all the DC movies. I went into this one not really sure I wanted to see it, but I do like Margot Robbie as Harley Quinn. I was a little saddened that we wouldn't be seeing Jared Leto's Joker again. I didn't hate Jared Leto's Joker, and I kind of want to see more of it. I'm really sad that that's probably never going to happen, but I can dream that they'll release some of those scenes that they claim they filmed for Suicide Squad. I really liked Suicide Squad, and I liked not only Harley Quinn, but how she reacted to characters, especially like Will Smith's Deadshot and Jai Courtney's Boomerang, and characters like Diablo and Croc. She kind of brought the team together, and I really liked that movie. There were times in Birds of Prey I was a little lost. I didn't like the way they told the story. And oddly, I was actually feeling this movie was losing me. There was a lot of Harley Quinn, oh, woe is me, at the beginning, where she and the Joker break up and she feels like she's lost a part of herself. And some of that stuff, for me, got really irritating. But when they started introducing some of the other supporting characters, that's when I was back in. And this movie came back and forth from, ooh, I think this is going to be my worst out of the DC universe, to, I think it's not going to be the worst. And it kind of rode the rails for a very long time, and then all of a sudden, the finale came, and they do a great job with the finale, the action sequences. I think it was really well done, and it kind of pushed it up. My lowest right now is still Man of Steel. Being a Superman fan, I had some issues with it. Still enjoyed the movie, but I have my problems with it. I've seen it a couple times now. So I really thought Birds of Prey was going to fall under this, but the finale really tightened things up a bit, and there was enough to like about it that I put it just higher than Man of Steel. But I still like Suicide Squad, and I know I'm in the minority, but I actually really liked Suicide Squad, and so I just think Harley worked better with that group than this group. I think they tried too much for a Deadpool. I really do. I know the friend I went with, Damien, said he didn't feel that way at all, but I thought it was very much trying to recapture Deadpool. This is the first DC movie that got an R rating, and although there is some gory bits in it, I'm not sure why they went with an R rating. There are a lot of 14-year-old girls that love Harley Quinn, so they kind of lost a lot of their audience because of that. Now I know a lot of people are blaming, the coronavirus and stuff like that, but the truth of the matter is, I think the R rating just kind of kept a lot of the audience at bay, and maybe a lot of people are just finally starting to give up on the DC universe. Now it's sad because, the DC universe, I don't really consider Joker part of the current DC universe. It's kind of like a sub version of it because it's a different Joker than we've already seen. But Joker was a success. Aquaman was a success. Wonder Woman was a success. Shazam made money, and people really liked it. And people actually didn't hate Birds of Prey. Some people actually gave it a good word of mouth, a good review. I wouldn't say it's a great film, but I thought it was a solid film. And even though she irritated me at times, Wendy Robbie. Who the hell is Wendy Robbie? Margot Robbie is the perfect. Have I been saying Wendy Robbie all this time? I hope not. Margot Robbie is Harley Quinn, and it's going to be a hard character to recast if they ever have to do it, because she knows this character so well. And I just think she has a little bit too much screen time, but as soon as they start bringing in some of the other players, I think it's pretty good. Ewan McGregor is really good at times, but every time I see him on screen, he seems like he's playing a different character, which was really irritating to me. And I know some people said, well, if you read the comic, that's what he's like. And I'm like, yeah, no, this wouldn't inspire me to read the comic because every time he's on screen, it's like. But my friend Damien made a good point and said that he believed that the Black Mask, which Ewan McGregor plays, was probably going to be the Joker at one point. And then when they couldn't get Jared Leto, or they didn't want Jared Leto, they rewrote the thing because this part would have been amazing if that was the Joker and the girls were going to take on him. And they could have done it. And I think they missed the ball. Even though I love Ewan, and he did pretty good with the role he had, even though I didn't think it was very consistent. But my biggest problem with the movie was the storytelling. I just felt it was all over the place, a bit of a mess, and just tried to be something different, but wound up feeling like Suicide Squad, Deadpool, a lot of stuff we've seen already. But I still think, as always, I say, go check it out for yourself. I think I would give this movie a 3 out of 5. It's watchable, and I will watch it again. I just don't think it's up there with some of my favorite DC movies like Batman vs. Superman or Wonder Woman, Suicide Squad, Aquaman, stuff like that. Anyhow, so that's a little review there of Birds of Prey. It's been a slow year so far. Like, I keep wanting to go out to see movies. I even went out to see a mushroom documentary, and Corda came along with me just because I hadn't been to the movies in so long. So, a little shout out to, I don't know if it's playing still at the Playhouse or the Westdale, probably streaming somewhere. It was called Fabulous Fungi, I think, something like that. Fantastic Fungi. Really good documentary, but I'm really looking for movies to go see when I go see that. And I also saw Sonic the Hedgehog, which we won't go too much into that. I will just say that it was better than I thought it would be, but still a movie I don't think I'd watch again. If you like Sonic the Hedgehog, you'll probably like this movie. If you like Jim Carrey mugging the camera back in like his 1990s era, you're gonna love this because he seems to be back to the old Jim Carrey, not the new Jim Carrey, which seems all over the place. I'm a little bit hurt by Jim Carrey because of the whole him being in Kick-Ass 2, and then the week it comes out, he puts down Kick-Ass 2, saying the movie's way too violent and stuff. If you saw the first Kick-Ass, why would you even agree to be in the second one if you're going to be that offended by it? So I'm a little tiffed at Jim Carrey, but he's a solid villain in Sonic the Hedgehog. If you're interested in my review of that, but I'm probably not the person since I'm not a video game fan, or at least not a video game fan of Sonic the Hedgehog, but I actually still surprisingly gave it a 2.5 out of 5, being very generous. I kept going back from 2 to 2.5. I thought there were some moments that were good enough to get it up to a 2.5. Could be James Marsden. That man waves a spell over me. Please, please, support James Marsden whenever you can. How did I get to becoming a James Marsden thing? Anyhow, I'm gonna wrap things up soon. I hope you enjoyed this just kind of talk. I'm gonna try to do this once a week now, where I just talk about stuff, and it'll be stuff that I post on Mondo Nostalgia. If there's stuff you want me to talk about, please do. As I said, I'm gonna try to build the community of Mondo Nostalgia next. So I want to ask people questions. I want to get to know you guys, stuff like that. I'm gonna go back around to the coronavirus and say that one of the weird things that is in my social media feed is just the sheer amount of washing your hands post I have seen. Now, I'm guilty of it too. I did post a 1956 grooming educational film. I love those old black and white films, and I think they actually do teach you a little bit about washing your hands. There was another one on there, but it was 20 minutes long. It was for nurses and the proper way to sterilize your hands. But nobody really watches things I post that are 20 minutes. I don't think many people watched the 10-minute one I posted. But what is surprising to me is the sheer amount of reminders of people washing their hands. It scares me because I've been washing my hands all the time. Didn't we learn decades ago that you should always wash your hands after you eat, after you use the bathroom facilities? But it's almost like we're not believing people are doing that. And I can speak for you that there are people that aren't. I see a lot of people going to the facilities and then just leaving. But then when I see people using touch screens, like the McDonald's touch screens, or when they're at the movie theater and they go in the quick checkout, or when they're using the quick checkout at the thing, I'm thinking to myself, do you know how many people are touching that screen? So, but it's kind of disturbing how many reminders of washing your hands each day is happening because of the coronavirus, which shocks me because of the fact that I've just been naturally doing it, and I like to believe everybody else is doing it, but I'm wondering because there's so many complaints about it. I also, if you want to go on Mondo Nostalgia since this episode's ending, I also there was somebody put a how you can make your homemade hand sanitizer, and if you're not afraid to part with some vodka, it's kind of a neat way to make your own. I still buy the little ones, individual ones. I work at a retail place, and everybody's always getting sick there. And I see how many people are using the community sanitizer pumps. And I always carry one with me because I see how many people are using them. And then I see how many sick calls we get a day. And I think to myself, yeah, I'm going to stick to my own. But, if you want to make your own homemade sanitizer, go over to Mondo Nostalgia on Facebook and go down all the funny stuff, all the new trailers and stuff, and you'll actually see a recipe to make your own hand sanitizer. I know some of you are thinking, I can just go buy hand sanitizer. But some people want to make their own and know exactly what's in it. I will tell you, vodka is the alcohol of choice for it. And some people probably just don't want to part with it. Just in the comments alone, I saw people saying, I'd rather drink it than use it on my hands. So, but since people seem to need reminders out there, wash your hands. It's the best way to stay away from germs. It's not going to be 100%, but it's going to help a lot. A lot. So get out there and wash your hands. Wash your hands even after this show. I don't know what you were doing with your hands during this show, but please make me feel better and do it, and I'll go do it myself, and we'll all be safe from the coronavirus. Thank you very much for listening to this crazy everything goes. I really enjoyed it. This was fun just talking about a whole bunch of topics, and I want to try to get back doing this weekly. And please, if you listen, like, subscribe, comment, because the more love I get, the more I will do these, and the more I'll want to talk about stuff you want to talk about. Or who knows, maybe you'll be sitting next to me one day, and yeah, I want all that. So let's just say this is going to be a weekly thing again. Yeah, we'll say that. We'll say that. And we'll be positive. And I'll leave us with hope that I will be back here next week with more talks about Mondo nostalgia, mental health, movies, whatever I feel like talking about. I've had a lot of fun, and I look forward to talking with you next time.